You're listening to Evil, a true crime podcast. Join me each week as I bring you real people, real stories, real crimes, and the evil they encountered. Hi guys, it's been a minute. If you're a fan of the podcast, then you've actually heard this episode before. It is the case of Brittany Locklear. It is a North Carolina unsolved homicide case. It is a child murder case. It was the first episode that was covered on the podcast. And I actually decided to re-record it because the audio quality was not the best when your girl first started doing this. I feel like I've improved as far as the quality in the audio, and I also feel like my writing's gotten better as far as covering the cases. So without further ado, here's the case of Brittany Locklear. In today's episode, we navigate the heartbreaking story of Brittany Locklear, a young life stolen on a cold January morning in 1998. From the eerie discovery of her clothes on a dirt road to the tragic details uncovered during the investigation, this case is riddled with twists and turns. Join me as I explore the suspects, the rewards offered, and the hope sparked by crucial DNA evidence. On a chilly winter morning in 1998, 5-year-old Brittany Locklear eagerly awaited the school bus. Little did her family know that it would be the last time they'd see her alive. As tragedy struck on that fateful January 7th, Connie Locklear Chavez prepared Brittany for the day, dressing her in green and white softball t-shirt, green denim coveralls, green and pink tennis shoes, white socks, and a green hair tie. Preparing to head out and wait for the school bus, Connie dressed Brittany in her charming little Red Riding Hood jacket. Connie fondly shared that Brittany loved everyone. She didn't fight in faults with anybody, and oh, she cherished going to church. And I did want to mention that Brittany is actually Native American. She is actually part of the Lumbee tribe. The Lumbee tribe is a tribe here in North Carolina, if you did not know. So that makes Brittany part of the missing and indigenous population as well. I just wanted to add that in there. And there's actually not a lot of pictures of Brittany that I could find, but you guys, she is stinking adorable. She has this beautiful, beautiful olive tan skin. She has these brown eyes, this almost golden brown hair, but she is absolutely a cutie pie. The picture that I find or that I have come across the most when I've researched her case, she is wearing like this poofy, very almost 80s looking pink, like poofy, looks like a prom dress almost. But she is so stinking cute, guys. She's adorable. Brittany's mother, Connie, left her at the end of the driveway to wait for the bus and briefly went inside to use the bathroom. Upon returning, Brittany was missing, leading her mother to assume that she had been picked up by the school bus. A neighbor observed a truck stopping, picking something up, and then quickly departing, realized that Brittany was missing. The concerned neighbor rushed to Brittany's home, informed her mother, who then confirmed Brittany's absence from the bus at the school. Can you even imagine? Can you even imagine? It is a thing of nightmares. Like, I can't even imagine. Just the thought alone makes my stomach want to fall out of my butt. What do you mean somebody came and grabbed my child? What do you mean my child is missing? I literally just stepped inside the house for 2 seconds. I cannot even imagine being in Connie's position. God bless her. Like, I can't even imagine. It's so horrific. My anxiety, even just thinking about it, goes through the roof. But I do want to say this. Some people have given Connie crap throughout the years about, well, you went inside. You know what, guys? I'm sure she was not thinking that her stepping inside of her house for 2 seconds was going to result with her daughter getting kidnapped. So can we not victim blame? It's horrific enough. It's horrible enough. And sometimes I think people don't think. They really don't. Like, they're so quick to judge, to character, that it's like, you have no idea what you would have done. You have no idea. So I just wanted to go on a little rant about that, because it really bothers me when I see people victim blaming her again, like I said, if she would have known, I highly doubt she would have went inside to use the restroom. But that's all I'm going to say on that. Connie dialed 911 to file a report. The operator informed her that there had been prior calls regarding her daughter. According to neighbors, a truck abruptly stopped at Connie's house near the bus stop. A man emerged from the truck, seized Brittany, and sped away. Unfortunately, details about the man's appearance, as well as the make, model, and the color of the truck, remained unknown. The town mobilized, with hundreds actively searching for Brittany. Hundreds of people came out to search for the girl. County, state, and federal lawmen set up roadblocks. Then, Hope County Sheriff Wayne Byrd issued a warning. Anyone with a brown truck would be stopped and questioned. Residents from across the region flooded the office with tips. Shortly after Brittany was reported missing, law enforcement discovered some items belonging to Brittany. On January 7, 1998, at around 9 a.m., Brittany's clothes and backpack were discovered on a dirt road 2 miles away. Now, at this stage of the investigation, there is skepticism about the possibility of finding her alive. Now, guys, pull over, as they say, because I'm mad. I'm about to get real mad. Can we not, as police departments, even if that is the truth, even if we know or we have a feeling that the outcome isn't going to be great, do we have to come out and say that the possibility or the probability isn't good? Do we have to crush the family's dreams? I'm just saying, I know we have to be, like, we have to speak with the truth, but do we have to crush the family's hopes and dreams? Tragically, on January 8th, around 2 p.m., Brittany's lifeless body was found in a drainage ditch 3 miles away. She was unclothed, and the autopsy suggested the possibility of sexual assault. Authorities concluded that drowning in the drainage ditch was the cause of her death. It's just horrific. Like, I will never understand. I will never understand people who hurt children. I will never understand people who assault children. I will never understand it. I will never understand it. Jay Tilley, an agent with the State Bureau of Investigation, mentioned that during the initial weeks, investigators received hundreds of calls daily. He emphasized the challenge, stating that the investigators lacked both the manpower and the necessary equipment to effectively address such a high volume of calls. They recorded information on paper forms and attempted to maintain computer spreadsheets for all the leads, but some tips inevitably slipped through the cracks. It wasn't until 3 months later that the FBI provided detectives working on Brittany's case with a specialized computer program designed to streamline the management of crime tips. However, by that point, the volume of calls had diminished. So, if that is not frustrating and enraging to you, I don't know what is, because how? It is just so frustrating. They just dropped the ball. The Hoe County Board of Commissioners sanctioned a $4,000 reward for information that could lead to an arrest in Brittany's case. Police questioned registered sex offenders within a 50-mile radius, but no leads emerged until 4 years later. In 1999, a determined new sheriff, Jim Davis, assumed office aiming to solve Brittany's case. Allegedly, Davis attempted to pressure Brittany's family into confessing to the murder, focusing on Brittany's step-grandfather, James Stevens. By 2001, Davis was replaced with Hubert Peterkin, the third sheriff in 3 years assigned to investigate Brittany's case. And, I've heard nothing but bad things about this Jim Davis, and how dare you? How dare you? This family has been through enough, and to sit here and not even want to do your due diligence, which is your job as a police officer, which is what we pay our taxes for you to do your job. In August 2002, a firefighter named Keith Laundry, serving time for bank robbery, became a suspect due to a photograph of Brittany found in his former firehouse locker. Which is like, why do you have that in there, dude? That's weird. Like, so many questions. However, after testing his DNA against samples from Britney's body, he was ultimately cleared of suspicion. But still, I would like a word, please. I have so many questions. On January 23rd, 2015, the Hoe County Sheriff's Office announced that they possessed sufficient DNA evidence to formulate a profile. Sheriff Wayne Byrd stated that the State Bureau of Investigation had gathered forensic evidence without disclosing the specific type of evidence that was collected. So, I wonder what kind of evidence they have. And I'm also wondering if they have tried forensic genealogy, like the reverse genealogy. You know what I'm talking about, where they build the family tree? Forensic genealogy. I am wondering if they've looked into that, if they're trying to do that. That would be amazing if they could find out who murdered her that way after all these years. So it's super interesting. As of the time of recording, that's really all the information on Britney's case. Her family still deserves answers. And she still deserves justice. A $20,000 reward is being offered if you have any information regarding Britney's case. Thank you for joining me on this episode, delving into the tragic story of Britney Locklear. From the chilly winter morning she vanished to the heartbreaking discoveries that followed, the details of her case are haunting. Despite years passing, justice remains elusive. The twists involving potential suspects, rewards offered, and the emergence of crucial DNA evidence keep this case shrouded in mystery. As we strive to keep Britney's memory alive, we hope for resolution and closure. If you have any information, please contact the North Carolina State Bureau of Investigation at 1-800-334-3000. Once again, please call 1-800-334-3000. And as always, I will catch you on the next episode. I love you guys. Have a good one. To stay connected, follow our Instagram at EvoPodcast88. Also on TikTok at EvoPodcast, and our Twitter is at EvoPodcast88. Comment, like, share, review, give us a rating, let us know what you think,